Today's passage is taken from 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 7. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. When I first decided to quit my job and work for church full time, so I told my boss that I will be resigning from my job. I worked for that company for over 35 years. And so the first reaction, my boss has, "You want to ask for a raise? How much you want?" So, no, you know, I never come and ask for a raise, and I'm one of the very few people in the office here. I keep telling you that I'm very happy with my pay. No, I'm not for more money. So what do you want? No, I want to go and work for my church. My church has asked me to work full time. What do you mean full time? Church only opens on Sunday. I mean, you've been doing it. He knows that I was a volunteer pastor for a long time. You just go and work for your church on Sunday and come back and work here from Monday and Friday. There's no conflict. Nothing. What's wrong with that? So he never understood the pastors work more than just Sunday. Just because you see him on Sunday. While we laugh at this, but we sometimes, our Christian life is like this, isn't it? Our Christian life only exhibit Christ or our belief, our faith, on Sundays, or maybe including Friday when we meet, or sometimes Saturday. We have compartmentalized our life, and there's a certain part of life is our spiritual life, that where we exhibit our Christ-like character. But the other part, if you just go back to our daily work, we mingle with our colleagues, our classmates, the non-Christians, and we just act like one of them. We have a split personality. There's a certain disorder. The definition of it is a mutually contradictory or antagonistic parts or qualities. And this is a mental disorder. We call it schizophrenic. So are we sometimes a religious schizophrenic? That our life is a dichotomy, split personality. We reserve certain part of life for church events, for the spiritual side of our life. But the other part, we live like a non-Christian. The passage we read this morning that we're going to go into is our, I shouldn't say secret, I keep using this word secret, nothing in the Bible is secret, but it is the formula, the instructions, it is the secret to a mature Christian life. In the Alliance, in our denomination, we have four of our pillars of faith, belief. One of them is sanctification. We want to be a sanctified Christian. We want to be like Christ. And how can we be like Christ? How can we be a mature Christian? How can we arrive at Christian maturity? We know that we need to study the Bible more, come to worship every week, serve, but it is more than that. So today we're going to look at the seven steps that Peter teaching us here. And this is the steps to Christian maturity, to sanctification. And when it first, in first, the first, Second Peter, the first chapter, Peter started off in verse 3 saying that, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. His divine power. First, we have to learn, we have to know that growing to maturity is not just our own effort. We do have to put in our effort, but that's more than that. We need divine power from God. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's only through Christ, through God, that we can grow to be a mature Christian. And everything that's needed to be a mature Christian, to arrive at quote-unquote sanctification, we will never be exactly like Christ. But we are walking, climbing. So my title for this morning's message is Climbing the Steps, Climbing Up to Be Like Christ. But everything that we needed is already been given, been taught, been told. And these seven steps is about life and godliness. Our whole person, not just part of it, not just the Sunday, the godliness part, but our life from Monday to Sunday, our whole person, life and godliness, and has been granted to us. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. And he promised us that we can arrive to the top. It's just not just a ambition, a goal that we can never reach. We all know that we want to be a holy person. We want to arrive at Christian maturity. We want to be a mature Christian. Where we go and we study 101 class, and at least two of you are going to apply for baptism next month. We study the Bible. We go to prayer meetings. We want to be mature. But here, God is telling that he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, that we can arrive there, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. I'll go back to this verse at the very end. So Peter laid out seven steps here to Christian maturity. Sanctification. Of course, before we start the step, we need to be a Christian. So we need to have faith. So Peter said, for now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith. We start off with faith, and then we have to work hard. We do have to work, even though it's God, but if we work through the power, it's divine power. We do have to work, applying all diligence. We have to try very hard. We cannot just lay back there and expect ourselves will grow to Christian maturity. We do have to work, but we're working through Christ, through his divine power. We start off with faith, and we need to have faith to start off this journey or this climbing to the top. And all of us say, if you are a Christian, you already have this faith. It's in the beginning, we accepted Christ as our Savior by our faith, though it may be little, but it is faith who started our Christian journey. Nothing worth having was ever achieved without effort. We want to climb up to the point of a mature Christian. We need to work hard. we need to sacrifice. We need to give up something. And what are those something? So Peter here continue. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, that's where we start off from the ground. We need the faith to become a Christian. Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, supply knowledge. So there are seven steps, one after the each, as we climb up to the top as a mature Christian. The word supply here is a very interesting a word in Greek. The word supply, the Greek, it consists of two words, epihorigeo. Horigeo, I underline it, is a word, you look familiar to an English word, chorus, singing in a choir, chorus. Horigeo, I check all the pronunciation before I come, so I know that's correct in Greek. Epihorigeo, horigeo is chorus. So the how this word was derived from is in those days, last year, Cynthia and I visited Greece, Turkey. We went to Ephesus, sorry. That's the book, Ephesus. And then we saw this huge outdoor theaters. And very often they love, the people at that time love to go to see the plays, what? And very often the producer can only have enough money to hire the actors to do the play, but not enough money to hire a choir to sing in the background. So very often the producer of the play will give it to some very wealthy people. And then they will say, that, okay, I will pay to hire a choir to sing for the play. So that's what this word derived from. So these wealthy people, they just pour out the money, everything that he has, so that he can get the best choir, as a big choir, to sing in the play. So this word, epihorigeo, in those days, meaning that these wealthy people just pour out, give a lot of his money to hire a choir to sing in the play. So Peter used this word, is saying that we need this supply. So this word in English, we translate as supply. So we need to pour out. When we have faith, we need moral excellence. When we have moral excellence, we need knowledge. And this is the word supply, pour out. We need to add, not just a little bit, not just like when you add salt to your egg, like just a little bit, sprinkle. But here, like pouring out into the next step is moral excellence. The English translates as moral excellence or virtue. But that's not the a complete translation of the meaning behind this word. Moral excellence here is meaning when anything in nature fulfills its purpose, then it's called a virtue or excellence. I use the New American Standard Bible, which is the closer to the original Greek and Hebrew. So here it means that when we have faith in our hearts, we have to live out our life. So moral excellence meaning anything that's in nature, if it's a land, if a land produces a good crop, then the land has served its purpose. Then it will say, use this word, it's excellent, the excellent land. If a knife, use a knife to cut meat, cut a vegetable, so it's useful. So the knife becomes excellent, it's an excellent knife. No, but use the knife to chop people and kill people, then it's not a excellent knife. Right? So for a person, if the person can live out his life to the fullest of God's abundance, God's purpose, then it is an excellent life. So Peter here is trying to say that when we have faith, we have to live out God's purpose in our life to the fullest extent. So that's what he is saying here. So faith hidden inside our hearts is not enough. We have to live it out. We have to put it into action. So when we put it into action, we have to need knowledge. So this one step, moral excellence is step one. Faith is the ground. And the next step, we move up one step. Sometimes it's not one step at a time. Sometimes it goes back and forth. It's all connected together. Then we need to have knowledge. In today, we have a lot of knowledge by surfing the internet. We read a lot. Now with AI, we even read more. But knowledge in among the Hebrew people is more than just head knowledge. It always involves an experience of the knowledge. If you just in your head, it's not a complete knowledge. To believe God is a knowledge. I believe that God can save me. It's only a knowledge. But to trust Him, that's why in the Old Testament, we like to translate the word not believe, but trust. Trust in the Lord rather than believe in the Lord. Belief is knowledge, but trust is a complete knowledge. So when the Hebrews, when they say knowledge, they mean you have actually experienced what you learn. So Peter here moving from one step to the other. We need to know God, the knowledge of God. That's good. We need to come to Sunday school, Bible studies, or read the Bible yourself. But we need to experience the Bible as well. We need to experience the knowledge of God. So that this knowledge is not just a head knowledge. Knowing that the doctor can save you, those pills can help you with good health. But if you're not taking the doctor's advice, following his advice, and take the pills, it won't help you. And this is exactly the problem with some of the older Christians. They have gone through many conferences, listened to many sermons, not just at church on Sunday, but also on YouTube. We read a lot of books, but if this knowledge haven't become part of your life, it's not a complete knowledge. So Peter here is talking about this complete knowledge, this knowledge that you experience a relationship with God. So going up the stair from knowledge, this word supply also applies to the next step. So we have to pour out epikorgeo. We have to pour out from your knowledge. The next is to control, self-control. So from personal knowledge, faith, moral excellence, living out your purpose of life, these are personal. Slowly moving to others. Self-control. Self-control seems to be taking a step backward, but it's actually moving forward. Self-control, I think I have talked about this before in my previous messages. Self-control is to control your lust, your bad desire. I don't know about you, what is the hardest to control? For me, eating a Häagen-Dazs vanilla chocolate ice cream bar is a great temptation. Wow, okay. And I have to control myself. And I am very good in controlling myself. This is my most favorite treat, besides dark chocolate. But don't stop bringing me ice cream bars. It will melt. So I control myself. I only eat half. So I will measure it half. So I eat half. And then I will stop. I wrap it, the paper. I never throw away the paper. And I use a scotch tape to tape it. Put it back in the fridge. So I eat it tomorrow after dinner. But sometimes I measure it half, before I start. But after you finish the half, it's hard to tell where the half lies. But half is gone. So I said, I sure this half is left, right? Because I cannot tell, right? Unless I take another one to compare. So maybe I eat a little bit more. So eventually, half has become this much. So I said that this is not half, this is about more like 1/8. So what's the point of saving 1/8 of a ice cream bar for tomorrow? Let's start my self-control tomorrow. I just finish that off and then I will start again. But here, self-control on food rely is hard, we know that. But self-control, Peter, talk about the self-control on evil desire, lustful thinkings. But they are sometimes just like the Häagen-Dazs vanilla chocolate almond ice cream. So the Lord is okay. I know that this is bad. It's just I only spend a few minutes on this. I only do it a little bit. I just do it one more time. And then I will stop right there. But very often we overestimated our self-control ability. We'll just keep eating and keep going deeper and keep going back. And Peter said, therefore, you to be able to climb up these stairs of maturity, you need to have strong, you just need to pour out epicorrhogai. I keep forgetting how to pronounce the word. You need to pour out your self-control ability to control your evil desire, lustful thinking. You're going after the world's values. And then add to that perseverance. Some translation translate as patience, but perseverance is the better word here. Perseverance, what's the word? Perseverance. Let me finish reading this. And in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, add to it, supply abundantly godliness. Perseverance, I like this painting here. Where they go, perseverance. Perseverance, I think this guy show a lot of perseverance. You can tell that it is cold, the storm is coming, it's really steep, it's really hard to climb, he has to pull on this rope, it's dangerous. But against all the odds, all the challenge, he keep going up non-stop. And this is perseverance, like in a battery called Die Hard battery. So he feels to die. Christian maturity, sometimes as you climb up the steps, one step at a time, slowly, slowly, we also slow down. There are challenges. When you serve, you have obstacles. And you have challenges in life. Maybe it's your finance challenge. Maybe it's your health, relationship. Maybe church. I find the church is not as fun as I first came. I find that people are not that nice anymore. And then slowly you slow down and you slow down. And then when the pandemic came, and then you just pause. Because the pandemic put a pause to all the church activities. So once you pause, stopped, when the doors reopen again, you cannot get up and continue this climbing. And perseverance is this. So Peter reminds us we need to have perseverance. Even though you've been doing really well, walking one step, nourish, virtue, self-control, but you need to continue. It's a lifelong journey. Not just we do it for 10 years, then we finish. It's a lifelong journey to continue to climb. And then continue as you climb higher and higher up. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. The next step is godliness. Godliness is reverence, devotion, worship towards God. A godly life that people can see. So from this faith that's within yourself, you climb up virtue, knowledge, self-control, moral excellence, perseverance, and then people can see God in you, godliness. Reverence for God, devotion in worship. You see worship as your primary goal in your life, that you, your whole life is a worship, moral conduct, practical obedience to the Lord. So as you climb each step at the top, people can see godliness in you. So this godliness is not something you just hidden. It's something that you let the whole world, let others to see. And not only to see, but to experience brotherly kindness. Philadelphia, I talked about this before, the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia, there's a state in the U.S. called Philadelphia, is brotherly love, brotherly kindness. The NAS translated as brotherly kindness. Then you start showing this godliness, this kindness. Your godliness has to be able to express in kindness to the people around you. It's kind to other people. Don't be mean. Show their care. Your family members, your friends, colleagues, students, classmates. And then the next highest step, this is the last step now. This is your final step of the seven steps. And brotherly love is just showing kindness to your friends, people you like. But the next step is the highest. In your brotherly love, then you supply with agape love. Agape love, this love in the Greek word is agape. Agape love is the love that's God's love. It's unconditional love. It's the love that God died on the cross for us. A holy love. It's a love, it's a divine love. It's God's love to people. It's Christ's love to us. So at the very top of this climbing, at the top of the steps, is to express the spiritual bond of love between God and man, and between man and man. When I read this, I was a bit puzzled. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. But how can we end up with something else, with agape love? We all know that we have to love others. We have to express this agape love. But shouldn't we just stop at godliness, Christ center, to be like Christ, sanctification? But Peter here is obviously telling us stopping at godliness is not enough. We have to go two more steps. We have to be able to express this divine love to other people. Otherwise, your maturity journey has not been completed yet. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Wage of Glory, he said, if you ask 20 good men today what they thought the highest of the virtues, 19 of them would reply unselfishness. But if you had asked almost any of the great Christians of old, he would have replied love. We have faith, hope, and love. And the Bible, 1 Corinthians, said, and the greatest is love. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, we have to be increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities, these seven steps, is blind or short-sighted. I mean, a lot of us are short-sighted, like me. Short-sighted meaning that you have forgotten his purification from his former sins, that we are still staying in darkness. We cannot see still. last verse, chapter verse 11, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. But the most important, value of arriving at this top of this climb, this mountain steps, is actually started. We have to go back to verse 4. Verse 4 is before Peter told us these seven steps. We read this, and I want to go back to this. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. This is verse 4. That's before Peter told us these seven steps. That means these seven steps, the reason for climbing up these seven steps, so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers, here is the word koinonia, koinos. Koinonia is meaning fellowship, sharing. That means we have to have fellowship of the divine nature, that we can have that fellowship with God himself. That means when we climb up to the top, the top of this maturity journey ladder, is that so that we can be partakers, have fellowship, be oneness with the divine nature, with God, with Jesus. Isn't this a wonderful lesson, message from Peter? As we climb up the ladder, our foundation is faith. We focus on our selfless virtue, moral excellence, to fulfill the purpose, to live out the purpose in our life, knowledge, to experience this knowledge, to live out this knowledge, and then self-control. And then we move on to others. Perseverance, godliness, that people can see Christ in our life. And then it's totally to other people. Showing kindness. Kindness to the people you like, starting from there. And then agape love, unconditional love, godly love. It's all for other people. So at the end, as we climb this ladder of maturity from ourselves, the end is actually that our life is to live for other people by the power of God, to love others, because God is love. So when we get up there, we experience God's love. We become partakers of the divine nature of Christ. We don't become God. We become like Christ. Christ in us, and we are in him. And that is the highest step of maturity. Last Friday, I was holding my 3-week-old grandson. I think most of you know, very small still, very light, like a lower breath. And holding had to be very careful, right? Not to squeeze too hard. And I sat there for a long time because everybody else was eating. So they gave the baby to me. So I was sitting here and just staring at this little baby. He was sleeping. I sat there for a long time until everybody finished their dinner. So I sat there, I felt that this baby is connected to me. Well, it is, in some sense, biologically. And I felt that this baby is part of me. And I stared at the baby, and I at that moment I felt that I am part of this baby. I find that our life is together, partakers of each other's life. Our life is joined together. There's a oneness between us. This is bonding. I cannot feel the separation. That it's just like that we are one person. And as you climb up to this ladder of maturity, when we start showing other people this agape love, then we are actually showing Christ to other people. Then we become partakers. We and Christ become one. This is oneness in us. God in us, we are in God. And that is Christian maturity. Let's pray. Father God, help us to climb up the steps, the stairs, so that we can be more mature each day until we are like you, that you are in us and we are in you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.